Hi listeners, welcome to episode 5 of Going For Two. I'm Ross White.
And I'm Nicholas Langdon.
We are going to give you a little peek behind the curtain. We're recording this one back to back with our last episode. So we're not going to go into the news because we just did the news.
Yeah, we literally did the news about 45 minutes ago.
And there's really only been one piece of news since then. And there was actually one piece of news.
Yeah, but Reggie Ragland's been traded to the Chiefs for a 2019 pick.
Amazing what can happen in a few minutes of the NFL. So the news that we're not going to talk about this week is Phil Rivers has his 17th child. It's been a busy week for him. We can't talk about that. We can't get to Prince Amukamara's claim to the Belgian throne. That's not going to go down right now. And we can't talk about Matt Stafford's controversial nappy advert that's been released. So we can't talk about these things right now.
But
so
I really have time. Talk about it.
We're not going to have any time. We're going to move on. So instead of talking about the news, we're going to play a little game and we're going to talk about our top 10 quarterbacks of the NFL.
Yes, we went for that cliche debate starter.
It's a great thing to start, though, when people don't know us very much. And now we can just argue a little bit on the podcast for the listeners in episode 5.
Yeah, we like a little bit of controversy. And as with any sort of ranking list, people always have their views about it. I'm sure you'll have yours. If you disagree, let us know why.
Yeah, and I'll shoot you down and tell you why I'm right. So we have made, so it's very strict parameters. We're talking about the top 10 quarterbacks that you want to take for this season and only this season. So this is a one season, you're bringing this quarterback onto your team for this one season.
So it's like you've traded them or magically got them in free agency.
Yeah, and I don't know who the rest of your team is, and you know, but it's just imagine it works for you and works for this quarterback. Because we're playing fantasy in our heads.
Ultimately, a good quarterback works for every team in the NFL.
Exactly. And that's how we've been looking at this list a little bit. Right, so top 10, Nick. Why don't you take us off with your number 10?
Number 10 quarterback this season that I would have would be Philip Rivers.
Oh, and I think you've drastically underrated him.
No! How old is he? How badly does he throw the ball?
Not very badly.
He throws the ball from below his shoulder. He's got the most baffling fundamentals for someone who's actually quite a good quarterback.
Yeah, but so does somebody else maybe on your list, Matt Stafford, someone else that can be considered.
Well,
on
he
this
didn't
list.
Make my list, but, because he is baffling.
Well, he's made my list, but the thing is, they can both have baffling mechanics, but they can have baffling mechanics and be like Blake Bortles, baffling mechanics, or they can have baffling mechanics and be like Philip Rivers, who's been in the league for 13 years.
14th year.
And Matthew Stafford, who's been around since 2008, I think. So you've got guys, it doesn't matter how baffling your mechanics is. If you can throw the ball, get touchdowns, get yards, lead a team to victories, then you're in.
How many games have the Chargers won over the past 3-4 seasons?
A decent amount. Yeah, they've not been in the region of the Cleveland Browns, but they've definitely not been in the region of the New England Patriots. But it's about him.
He's been sub 500.
He's got experience and vision of a field. He's been able to make players out of Keenan Allen, who's maybe not an amazing receiver, but is definitely...
He's amazingly injured.
I know.
I would like to see him do well. I think it'd be great if... Well, it wouldn't be great if the LA Chargers got to the playoffs. It would have been great if the San Diego Chargers could have got to the playoffs, because I'd like to have seen Phil Rivers in the playoffs one more time.
Yeah, I think he should have been higher than you've got him there.
Well, who have you got?
Well, I had him at number 5 in my list.
Number 5?
Phil Rivers is up at number 5.
That's way too high.
Oh, mate, you've got your team there, and you've got an experienced, level-headed...
He's not level-headed. He's the least level-headed quarterback. He argues with everyone on the field.
Well, because he's got all the screaming children at home he has to deal with.
Yeah, he's got way too many children. I mean, great reproductive genes.
At number 10 on my list, I had Derek Carr.
I was going to say, David Carr would be quite a stretch.
David Carr making a huge comeback. No, I've got Derek Carr at number 10.
I tell you what, this is going to sound awfully familiar to listeners. You've massively underrated Derek Carr.
Really?
Well, not massively, like a bit.
A bit, okay.
I got him at number 7.
All right, but yeah, so he's on both our lists there. Derek
Yeah, I think he's proven quite a lot in the first 2 seasons, particularly last season. What a shame it was that he got his leg broken on Christmas Eve. I'd absolutely love to see them in the playoffs. I want them to get to the playoffs so much this year, just because I think that Derek Carr and that offense with Marshall Lynch is going to be fantastic fun to watch. He's a gunslinging quarterback. kind of like that classic Raiders figure, despite being quite a Jesus boy.
Yeah, he's a bit nice, isn't
he's
he?
He's a bit too nice to be a real Raiders quarterback. Yeah. But in terms
he
of
looks
his,
mean though, because he's got dark hair and big eyebrows.
He looks like the guy out of Green Day, the lead singer.
Oh, he does a little bit.
Yeah, I've always thought that. I always thought, you know, like Big Ben looks like Will Ferrell with a helmet on.
Oh, I think you say Big Ben looks like Shrek.
No, I think Will Ferrell.
I think Will Ferrell looks like Shrek.
So, I think that Derek Carr is underrated on that list.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I've not got him any higher is because we've only really seen one really good season from him. So,
yeah, okay,
I want to see a little bit more before he bumps up this list. You've got a lot to work for here. If you want to go higher on my imaginary list, you've got to work really hard for the next couple of years.
I'm sure that they'll take that very much to heart.
He'd blooming well better. Right, at number 9 on my list, Nick, I had Eli Manning!
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Ross, the Giants fan, overrates Eli Manning. The average at best quarterback.
Overrates? If you want him in this season?
He didn't even make my shortlist for the top 10.
Behave yourself!
He's like the 15th best quarterback. I might take Andy Dalton over him.
Oh, have a word with yourself. Right, Eli Manning needs to be on the list because of how he plays in the postseason and how he plays in the fourth quarter.
No, you can't count two particular postseasons as like the defining moments of your career.
I think you can, and I think everybody does, because that is the defining moments of your career, when you play well in the postseason and win Super Bowls.
Yeah, against the same team every time. Beat someone different,
yeah.
Eli.
Yeah, let's try. Don't, you're just sitting there beating the best team of the past 20 years. Like, oh, what have you done anyway?
He was poor last season. Say it. Just say it. Admit it. He was poor last season.
He wasn't poor. He was inconsistent.
Right, which translation, listeners, is poor.
He was inconsistent in a new offense.
Oh, God, a new offense. Like Eli Manning, this quarterback has been around the NFL for 13, 14 years.
14 years.
It might actually be 13. Can't actually learn a new offense. Like, I get that there's a big change, yes. But come on.
No, it's not that he
Look
can't
at those receiving
learn.
Weapons.
No, it's not that he can't learn the offense. It's the fact that you're going to have a period of transition when you change offense. And he's still able to deliver the ball to Odell Beckham. And at that point, you know,
that's not hard. I could probably deliver the ball to Odell Beckham and he'd make something happen.
Yeah, probably. But Eli Manning's doing it on a week-to-week basis. And also with people like Roger Lewis as receivers.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't see the field.
Yeah, he does.
When?
He had, what, 2 touchdowns last year?
Well, that's the kind of knowledge that only an actual Giants fan would know.
Yeah. Which is, I think, as many touchdowns as Landon Collins had. And did you see Landon Collins' touchdown against the Jets on Saturday night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was watching it live. I worked night shift on the weekends. And I was doing my work, and I just had it on the screen in, you know, nice and quiet, and alongside the McGregor-Mayweather fight. And I just looked up, and I just saw the defense lining up, and I could see Collins kind of, his movement. I was like, this looks like he's going to be jumping in zone coverage. And it was, and he was the corner, I think it was DRC, was stepping back and then saw the receiver take off. So he, anyway, moved around. Collins jumps ahead of the tight end, picks the ball, runs straight to the end zone, and it was just classic. It was just so, it's classic Landon Collins. But there's not talking about him. He's one of my favorite players on the Giants right now.
I
by
can
the
tell.
I've
seen his eyes light up.
I'm so excited about him. So that was number 9, Eli Manning for me. Who have you got number 9?
Number 9, I've got Alex Smith.
I wanted to get him on. I love Alex Smith, but I didn't get him on the list.
I think he's underrated year after year after year. He can actually run.
He can, and this is
no
what I was about to say.
Gives him credit for.
No, he can, no, he don't.
He generally is very low in turnovers. He led the San Francisco 49ers to the playoffs and beat Drew Brees' Saints team, which was a high-powered offense at the time, in like 2011, I think, in the playoffs, or 2012, before obviously he lost his job to Kaepernick, then goes to the Chiefs. The Chiefs they always keep saying that they've won the most regular season games over the past like 2 or 3 seasons, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I know he can't get it. I know they keep stumbling in the playoffs, and maybe he hasn't got that ultimate ceiling, but if you want to play, like, if you've got a team and you need a quarterback, Alex Smith will do you a solid job for most of the year.
Yeah, I like him, but I think there's maybe 12, 13, 14 better quarterbacks than him.
Oh, that's what I said about Eli.
I know. I do really like Alex Smith and his running ability. I just wish he would throw the ball more than 8 yards every time.
It would be nice. Yeah, if he would take some more deep shots.
But... yeah, hence why Jeremy Maclin had no touchdowns 2 years ago in Kansas City. And
well, none,
left.
Neither did either of the, any of their receivers.
No, I know. So that's why he's not really up there on the top 10 for me. But I would really, I'd trust him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, so at 10, you have Phil Rivers. At 9, you have Alex Smith. I have 10, Derek Carr. 9, Eli Manning. Number 8.
Cameron Newton.
Yeah, I had Cam Newton at number 6. So we're in the same zone.
Right, yeah. I could have easily moved him above my number 7, who we've already sort of briefly touched on, Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. I think they're pretty swappable. Again, my only issue with Cam Newton this season is coming off an injured... is it a shoulder injury?
Yeah, shoulder injury, yeah.
Did have a bit of a down season, which is probably because of the shoulder injury, but...
he's tough, though. Remember when he had a car accident 2 years ago and was the MVP?
Well, exactly. I mean, he's such a weapon at quarterback. Yeah, and if he can transition to the Big Ben-style play and, you know, be more of that pocket passer, but still with that amazing ability to run...
yeah, imagine if he had a decent O-line and decent receivers rather than Kelvin Benjamin, who's fat, and Devin Funchess.
Kelvin Benjamin's getting so much hype in preseason.
Yeah, but he's fat, and Devin Funchess gets
They have
injured.
A special relationship, Kelvin Benjamin and Cam Newton. Like, not... no, sorry. Not that special, but... they're on the same page, and Newton will always look for Benjamin if he's open.
Now, we're going to talk about the NFC South in this episode after we do this little game, so we'll go more into him later. At number 8, I have Jameis Winston, famous Jameis, because I am just falling in love with him
Hard Knocks.
You're a
sucker for Hard Knocks.
Oh, but he's such a good... I'm going to have to go into him a little bit more later on in the episode, but what a great leader, what a great guy. He's so...
right, but how many turnovers?
He's going to have a few, but then people who take chances and try
will. That's his downfall at the moment, is there's too many turnovers with his exciting play. They really need to show something this season.
Yeah, and this is a good season to show it because they have good receivers. I mean, Mike Evans is... we're going to come into them later. Anyway, not to spoil the surprise. Number 7, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, why?
Because he's a gunslinger. He can throw it really far because he's got a big, strong arm.
Right, but how many times are they going to be on like a middling lines team and throw a back-breaking interception? He's like the new Tony Romo. He's probably worse than Tony Romo. Not Tony Romo right now, I'd like to point out. But just in general, that reputation that Tony Romo had of like back-breaking interceptions. Like,
I just
I've
love
seen that
that
from Matt Stafford year after year.
Yeah, but I just love that Matt Stafford, he is just, he's no fear, and he's just looking downfield all the time, trying to get the ball forward, trying to make big plays, and he's capable of doing it as well.
I will admit that he can make throws that literally no other quarterback can make in the NFL.
Oh, especially when he's throwing it like from below his knees, essentially,
yeah,
sidearm.
Utterly,
and it's still flying 50 yards.
Bizarre. But too often, he just seems stagnant. Maybe there's just too much on his plate in Detroit. I'll be honest, he did make my shortlist, so he would be probably about number 11 overall on my list. But
You've said you've got Derek Carr at 7, don't you?
Derek Carr.
We've done
at 7.
Him. And I've got Cam Newton at 6. Who
at
we've
6,
covered.
I've got Russell Wilson.
Oh, I've got to scrap my list because I forgot about Russell Wilson.
Of course you did.
Oh, no. How did I forget about Russell? It's because I skipped the whole division. Oh, man.
The whole NFC West?
Yeah. Is there anybody else in there?
Carson Palmer?
No. Jared Goff? No.
No. Minus Brian Hoyer.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely skipping. No wonder we forgot. I don't know where, but... Russell Wilson needs to go into my top 10, which means Derek Carr falls out.
Ooh, tough moment for Derek Carr.
You know what? I'm going to put Russell Wilson in at number 5 ahead of Rivers, knocking Rivers down to 6, Cam down to 7, Stafford down to 8, Jameis down to 9, Eli down to 10. Just for everybody keeping track at home.
On the Going For Two podcast, we like to do our preparation in depth.
Oh, man. Right, so... Russell Wilson, yeah, he's good. He's really good.
Yeah, he's really, really, really
good.
Yeah,
you have him at 6, I have him at 5.
He seemed a little injured last season. There were problems with his knee, weren't there, early in the season. If you remember at the back end of the 2015 season, he was the best quarterback in the NFL for like a stretch throughout December. I'm excited to see if they can get back to that level again this year. I honestly think that he's just one of those players that wins and he's just a born winner I really think he can develop to be the Tom Brady to Andrew Luck's Peyton Manning from that draft class. Like, I just think that he's going to be the guy that's ultimately going to end up with the most Super Bowl rings, I think, out of that sort of that
It's
generation of
not
quarterbacks.
down to just that though, is it?
No, it isn't, but he's clinical, he's smart, he knows when to just get down, he knows when to take the short routes, but he's also got like a sexy deep
It
ball.
could be the Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, where you win one and everybody just says you're amazing for your whole career, but you only have the one Super Bowl.
I know he doesn't put up the same sort of like ridiculous numbers that they put up. He's more of a game winner. But look, okay, he got picked off, but if they hand off the ball to Marshawn Lynch one more time, he's probably already got two.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. So you had Russell Wilson at six. I had Cam Newton at six. At number five, I have Philip Rivers, who we've spoken about. And, well, no, I've moved all this around. Anyway, who have you got at number five?
Matt Ryan.
Oh, I wanted to put him in my list as well.
Reigning
He fell
MVP.
out.
He's not even on your
He
list.
fell out.
Reigning MVP
Yeah, but I
of
think it's
one of the
more.
highest scoring offenses and most dynamic offenses we've seen in
I
years.
still believe it's Kyle Shanahan MVP. I think it was Kyle Shanahan's offense. I think it was more to do with the plays that were being called and the options and the chances that the quarterback, the receivers, the running backs, everybody was given because of his ability to call good plays.
They've got a lot of weapons, but I think Matt Ryan is given a short shift by either. I think he definitely deserves to be in the top five, especially after last season.
I'll put him at number 11. Who have you got next?
Number four, Big
I
Ben.
have Big Ben at number four as well.
Finally, some agreement.
Yeah.
I was toying about whether or not to put Matt Ryan above him, but ultimately I thought that Big Ben has more playoff wins, obviously more Super Bowls, has done it over a longer period. He's developed from being this like real risk-taking quarterback to being quite a smart quarterback, a lot more short passes, less of the scrambling, and just throwing it deep to Mike Wallace. Admittedly, they've got an absolutely loaded receiving core. One of these years, I think it might have to be this year if he's going to retire, he's going to be a serious MVP candidate.
Yeah, he was it 2 seasons ago. He threw a 600-yard game,
Yes.
and he's tough. I know he gets little injuries and he makes a big meal out of them, but he stays on the field for a good
He misses
massive chunk of the
games most
time.
seasons, which is problematic, but when he's on the field, I do think he is
You know what, actually,
right up
because of
there.
that, I might swap things around on my list. Because if I'm talking about this season, do I want him, because he's going to miss some games. But, oh well, he's staying there just now. I think going forward, you can trust him when he's on the field. You can
Yeah,
definitely trust him.
absolutely.
Turnovers, yeah. You've already complained about turnovers, so but you're not bringing that up with Ben. There's obviously more to him to bring him higher up on your list, like his strong arm, his intelligence, his experience, all the same things that Phil Rivers has as well, by the way. But
I'm still not sold on Phil Rivers.
number three, I have Drew Brees.
I have Drew Brees.
Wow, that's really good, isn't it? And we've probably got the same top two as well. So our top four are the same, and it's all four experienced quarterbacks.
Well, that's ultimately what
Really
the position
experienced. I
needs.
mean, these guys have all got, my top, it's 13, 14 years of experience.
Yeah, I mean, look, Drew Brees has time and time again led the league. He has in passing, he has by far the most 5,000-yard seasons. When most quarterbacks don't have one, he has about four or five.
You can always rely on Drew Brees to
Breeze.
get good yards for your team for passing. And it,
What a fantasy quarterback.
but sometimes
Their
there's no
defense
one to
isn't.
throw to. How is he? I mean, Marcus
Well,
Colston is the receiver that has the most yards under Drew Brees. That's unbelievable.
yeah, Marquise Colston was a decent receiver.
He was all right, but was he? Brady
He's
had
not Randy
Moss.
Moss, no. But that just goes to say how good Drew Brees is.
Big Ben's got Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean they've got less receiving weapons this year. Again, we'll talk about that
Matt
later.
Stafford had Calvin Johnson.
Exactly, which goes to say just how important Drew Brees is and
Yeah,
has
which is
been to
why
the
he's
Saints.
really high on my list as well. But I think there's two players who have
I
more
agree.
talent
I agree.
and you can just rely on every single game. And we've Well, go on. Who have you got at number two?
I've got Aaron Rodgers.
I've got the other one, Thomas Brady.
I think you'd be mental to put any quarterback other than the greatest quarterback of all time at number one.
The reason I've got them the other way around, and I've got Rodgers number one, is because he...
And his lack of playoff wins, lack of Super Bowl appearances?
No. I've got Rodgers number one because of his... He's got more physical talent. He can throw the ball. He's a better thrower of the ball than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a good manager of the ball. He's a good game
manager. Going back to something you said just the other week about Tom Brady having flimsy arms, I bet a lot of players are better throwers of the ball than Tom Brady.
Yeah, but as Peyton Manning...
He's the best quarterback.
As Peyton Manning showed when he rode off into the sunset, you don't have to have the physical side of the game.
Exactly, so you've just undermined your own argument about Aaron Rodgers being better than Tom Brady.
Oh, damn it! I fell into that trap again! But there's our top 10. So run down again, Nick, from your 10 to 1.
At 10, Philip Rivers. At 9, Alex Smith. 8, Cam Newton. New at 7, Derek Carr. Number 6, Russell Wilson. Down a spot at 5, Matt Ryan. New this week at 4, Big Ben. Staying steady at 3, Drew Brees. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers. And number 1, has been for a few weeks now, Tom Brady.
10, Eli Manning. 9, Jameis Winston. 8, Matthew Stafford. That's fine. They don't mind. They know we're running raw. 7, Cam Newton. 6, Philip Rivers. 5 gold rings, Russell Wilson. 4 Big Ben. 3 Drew Brees. 2 Tom Brady. Number 1 is Aaron Rodgers.
I believe you've got a story to share with us, Ross.
Yeah, just a little story. So we're an NFL podcast, and people will be happy to know that we have been getting a lot of attention, and we have now had some direct contact from the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is exclusive stuff, really official stuff. So this...
Really official.
Really official. Mm-hmm. So, listen up. Hard Knocks follows a competitive NFL team through a grueling preseason regime. It's an emotional roller coaster where the finally realized distant dream of undrafted free agent rookies can be smashed by injury. We see veterans imparting knowledge, superstars humanized, coaches pressurized, and young wannabes stretch their potential. In contrast, Soft Bumps, this story, follows the Cleveland Browns. We delve into the fantastical, imaginative concept of the one-team carnival of disappointment, the muses for desperation, and the factory of sadness. How can the same team be a perennial contender for first shot on the helter-skelter of negativity year after year? So let's ride the coaching carousel, watch in awe of the juggling general managers, play bingo with the rest of the potential quarterbacks, and enjoy the magic that is Soft Bumps, Cleveland Browns training camp. It's day one, and Ickle Baby Brock has been invited to the play date with the other new addition, DeShone Kizer, and toddler Cody Kessler. But his mummy isn't here to set his alarm. He was silly and he was up late, till 11:03 p.m, playing with his horsies and colouring the new playbook Uncle Huey got him as a moving present. This was all before having his cold milk, because he didn't know how to use the microwave. He usually prefers it tepid. But off he went to Snoozeland, and Brocky was late rising. His morning routine of bubble bath, sugar puffs and Power Rangers had to be rushed, and it made him all quite flustered and a smidge disorientated, thus causing him to board the wrong bus to the Paul Brown School of Soft Bumps. Thankfully, he had the wherewithal to strap his Razor scooter to his rucksack, and once his mistake had been realised, he was on his way at a right old speed. He was about halfway along his scenic route through the Cleveland suburbs when he came across a shopping centre. And he realised that, all of a sudden, he was in desperate need of an American football going to his new practice. So he rushed into the sports outlet shop. What a numpty he would have felt if he was the only one there without a ball. He did, however, have his Dennis the Menace figure to play with. The thought of bringing a super soaker along with him that day had entered his mind. He wanted to play a trick on Kizer, but he thought it was a bit too early for his scampish behaviour, and it could have been misinterpreted as a bit of a power play. all stocked up with new footballs, he carried on his way like a cheetah, which can reach up to 60 miles an hour. He loved the new animal book that his friend Tommy Savage gave him as a leaving present when he left Texas. In the blink of an eye, he was at practice, just in time to help pick up all the cones and bibs that the bigger boys had been playing with. Mr. Jackson gave Brock a right old rollicking for his tardiness. But Brock's mum had always told him to treat harsh words like water, and he to be like a duck, and have the water run off his water-resistant feathers, thus rendering the intent of such words ineffective. It's a funny old job working for the Browns, but Brock feels like he's going to be right at home. That was Soft Bumps with the Cleveland Browns. Let's move on and let's talk about the NFC South.
The best division in football.
Yeah, could be.
It's
could
this,
be.
If the NFL was a football tournament hosted in the summer, this would be called the Group of Death.
All right, yeah, it would be.
This is the NFL's version of a Group of Death. Someone out of the Falcons, Panthers, Buccaneers and Saints isn't making the playoffs.
Probably two.
Yeah, well, I could see three coming out of this because this division is loaded. But there are going to be a lot of disappointed teams here because...
Well, if three came out, that would be at the expense of Cowboys, Lions, Vikings,
NFC playoff picture is going to be very messy this year. I could see the wild card race being really close.
Wow. Okay, well, let's talk about the team that we just saw in the Super Bowl, the Atlanta Falcons.
Ultimately, it comes down to one thing. You've already touched on this earlier in this show, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Will he be missed? Is Steve Sarkisian, former USC head coach and Alabama offensive coordinator, a suitable replacement? Or will he get drunk again, fall off the wagon?
Yeah, I hope not. I don't think they're going to be as good because of Kyle Shanahan.
You really think he's that actually an important part?
Yeah, I do. They've got great receivers.
Reigning MVP.
Reigning MVP. Great receivers. Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Taylor Gabriel.
Austin Hooper at tight end. Levine Tololo as well. And then you've got the backs, which are almost like additional receivers.
Yeah.
Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman, which are great 1-2 in the backfield.
Maybe I've been harsh on them then. I don't know, but maybe they're better than I originally thought. They've got a lot of receiving options and they've got a good O-line and they've got the reigning MVP at quarterback. There's not been many changes on the offense.
So what can possibly go wrong then?
It's Steve Sarkisian calling the plays and it's not Kyle Shanahan. I don't know. I just don't know enough. I thought like it was so Shanahan rather than so all these players. Are they just so great in my mind because of how great they played last year under the offensive coordinator? Or did the offensive coordinator look so good because he had so many good players? I'm going to say it's the former. That was the one where I said it was all Shanahan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm going with that option anyway. I don't think they're going to be as good.
I know this is really cliche. There is, of course, what happened in the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl hangover. And, you know...
I believe in that.
Yeah, well, I do. They've lost all three of their preseason games. That's right, ladies and
gentlemen.
Yeah,
don't worry.
They've played three straight games since the Super Bowl, and they've all been losses, because obviously the preseason is so serious.
Yeah, I don't care about the preseason results, apart from when it was the Giants beating the Jets on Saturday night.
It's the most meaningless game.
I know. It's a Snoopy Bowl.
Right, but yeah. That was the one that got Mark Sanchez famously injured because Rex Ryan was so determined to win it.
The defense is really young and they are another year older and are certainly wiser after the Super Bowl loss.
Can they step up from the end of last season? They'd started to make progress and they looked like they were trending upwards and their pass rush looks fierce. You know, Courtney Upshaw, people like Vic Beasley at linebacker. They have really got the potential.
I thought you were going to talk about some of the defensive ends and my favourite player coming out of the draft. And
who is your favourite player coming out of the draft?
Tekaris McKinley.
Yes, the man who dropped an F-bomb on stage at the draft.
Yeah, he did, yeah. And just he carried the portrait of his mother with him.
Yeah, he seems like a
his
cool
grandmother.
Character.
Sorry, oh man, but I just thought he was a really determined young man as well, and really, really good. I like him anyway. I liked his character,
yeah.
And I thought he seemed like a good player as well. From the little bit of film I saw, he looked like he was a hard-hitting defensive end chasing the quarterback.
If their defense can continue that upward trend that it seemed to be doing last season, and start complementing that high-powered offense, then I see there's no reason for them not to potentially repeat as division champions and go straight back to the playoffs, where they can possibly try and avenge last season's Super Bowl defeat.
Mm. Keanu Neal is one to watch at free safety as well. Big hitting, speed, agility. Just needs to be consistent wrapping up his tackle.
I think you could say that for every or most NFL players, because no one wraps up anymore, generally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot more talk, hasn't there, across the league of people trying to like emphasize tackling more this offseason, because it's become... How many times do you see it? The guy lowers the shoulder and just bounces off the guy, and the guy's still running. I mean, you can't have that on a football field.
Yeah, apart from when Vontaze Burfict does it. Jack Crawford, we should mention him. He's a British boy, and we're British, so we should support him. Defensive tackle. He plays more in a kind of... he's also played at the end in a 3-4 scheme as well. He's going to be playing inside here in a 4-3 scheme, so he's that kind of player anyway.
He's second on the depth chart behind Dontari Poe.
Yeah, but he plays very differently to Dontari Poe, so it's not a truly fair comparison. But he was at the Raiders, did fine. I think he was at the Cowboys for a bit and didn't really get much action there. But yeah, fingers crossed we want to see a little bit more of you, Jack. We're rooting for you. What else you want to say about them Falcons, or do you want to move on?
I think the Falcons should ultimately win 10 or 11 games. I see them going back to the playoffs. How far they go in the playoffs, we'll see, but I don't see this being the classic Super Bowl hangover disaster. Oh. I think they're good enough to overcome it.
All right, Carolina Panthers. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
And they seemed to have a bit of a hangover last season.
They did. Are they going to be able to get over that? And
yeah, I think if Cam is fixed, because I think Cam was broken for a lot of last season, and that was a major problem. Not to mention that their receiving talent wasn't great. I just think that they've added the right pieces through the draft, i.e. Christian McCaffrey, to complement Jonathan Stewart in the backfield. They can both catch passes. They've got Devin Funchess, Kelvin Benjamin, who, as I briefly touched on earlier, looks very good in camp.
See,
he's got so much buzz.
See, I don't know if that's what... maybe we've been reading totally different sides of the same sheet.
He's being talked up massively. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a very strong offense this season.
I can't believe we're you must have been reading one side, I'm reading the other side, because I'm hearing the opposite of Kelvin Benjamin, where he's looking fat and he's not looking
like
he's able
reading
to play.
Last season's article, though.
No. He's looking like he's fat and unable to perform. Anyway, also, Devin Funchess, he was injured last year.
Yes.
You're going to have to... I mean, I don't know what to expect of him. So I'm not too hot on Carolina, because Cam Newton's been a mixed bag, really. He had an MVP season, and then he's had stroppy moments on the sidelines, and he's been... he overthrows receivers quite a lot.
But he still made the top 10 list of quarterbacks in the NFL.
I know.
So he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game, ultimately. I think the addition of players like Christian McCaffrey, you know, to give them more options for them shorter passes, because so much of Carolina's offense was, you know, deeper routes down the field, which meant Cam had to hold the ball for ages, which meant the O-line had to hold up, and ultimately that led to Cam getting hit a lot.
And injured.
Ultimately injured. Now, if he can start getting the ball out quicker, Ron Rivera's talked about trying
to get... Well, they've got the Khalil brothers there.
Yeah, Matt and Ryan Khalil. If
protecting him on the O-line.
My biggest problem with the Panthers is their offensive coordinator, Mike Shula.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never rated him at first, and he seems to always be the thing holding them back, and then came out the MVP season, and everyone was like, oh yeah, Mike Shula's the real answer, but I'm still not convinced by Mike Shula. I think...
Risky. He's risky.
I don't think he's imaginative enough for it. I honestly, I think he could benefit. Cam Newton would benefit from a change of offensive coordinator. Ron Rivera has said that they want to start doing more short passing like they did in Pittsburgh with Big Ben. If they go to that, they've added the right talent to do so.
Yeah, with Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is my favourite player in the draft.
Yeah, mine too.
I know I just said Takaris McKinley, but I really like Christian McCaffrey too, so why not?
If you had to choose which one?
Oh, I love all my sons. But I like seeing McCaffrey and Stewart in the backfield together.
That is a great,
mix to play with. Maybe he can be a little bit more imaginative when he's got options like that.
Who's got the best linebacking core in the league?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's the Panthers. Shaq Thompson, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis. That is an outstanding starting linebacking trio.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I think that is the key to the defense.
Kawan Short. Yeah, he's been there for a while. Yeah,
he's a defensive tackle.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just looking at the rest of it, saying the whole front seven, because you've got Stalatule, Kawan Short, and then you've got Julius Peppers and Charles Johnson. Although Julius Peppers and Charles Johnson on the outside, they're both a bit older. Could maybe have done with making that a bit younger.
Yeah, but Julius Peppers isn't going to start every down, is he? He's a situational pass rusher. You know, he's back where he started his career. He can still be useful in certain pass rush scenarios. I think ultimately that's a very solid defense, the strength of it being at the front end. Obviously, they got rid of Josh Norman last season. So we'll see how the secondary has developed.
Yeah.
Where do you see them finishing in the division?
Probably third.
You think third? So who do you see finishing second?
Atlanta.
So who do you see finishing fourth?
The Saints. Is Michael Thomas a number one receiver? If I'm going in happy with him as my receiver,
I'm concerned that Ted Ginn is a number one receiver listed on this team.
Ted Ginn, Michael Thomas, Willie Snead.
Right, so if Drew Brees does it again this season, seriously, this guy needs to... Well, he's already in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
But this receiving core is the weakest that they've had in a while. Now, I think they're looking at a possible change in philosophy, and maybe we won't see Drew Brees throw it quite as many times, because look at that backfield.
Oh, it's sexy.
Mark Ingram, Adrian Peterson, Alvin Kamara, who's got a lot of hype. I mean...
Travaris Cadet.
I don't... Like, do you even need Travaris Cadet with Alvin Kamara, Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram?
Yeah.
That is just an outstanding backfield altogether. So I think that they are looking to run the ball more. Look, they take a left tackle in the first round, Ryan Ramczyk.
Yep. Yeah, getting their first round pick, starting at left tackle. They've obviously got a lot of confidence in it.
They're trying to change the team's identity.
Yeah, but a rookie left tackle, it's a big jump going from college to the NFL, especially there.
Yeah, it is, but it shows their overall game plan. They're trying to invest in O-line, you know, added pieces at running back. It's trying to take the load off Drew Brees. They've got rid of receivers. So they obviously don't see, or they don't hope, that it's going to be Drew Brees passing 50 times a game to keep them in every single game like it was last season, which ultimately is only going to be possible if their defense ever actually becomes average. In the last three seasons, it has been 28th, 32nd and 31st in points allowed.
Oh, that's odd.
If they could just, you know, and that's why they go 7-9 every season. Everyone jokes about the Rams going 7-9. They've been 7-9 for the last couple of seasons as well.
Yeah, but if we want to talk about weakness on the defense, I mean, third round pick, Alex Anzalone.
Anzalone.
Yeah, he's starting. I don't know who that guy is, and he's a starting linebacker. Either they're seeing a lot in him, or they're really needing to get people. They're just having anybody play on the defense.
They've not had the greatest defense, obviously, as we've just shown by the stats. I'm kind of concerned about how much they invested in it. There are two...
Yeah, they've only got Jordan Cameron. He's really the only pass rush option. And they've got, you know, Trey Hendrickson as another rookie there. You don't know what's going to happen with someone like that. But
the thing is, ultimately, all the defense ever needs to be with the Saints is average. Imagine if they were just the 20th best defense, or the 15th. With that offensive firepower and Drew Brees at quarterback, then you would expect them to comfortably
you know what? They've got Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At Ohio State.
Yeah. He was drafted in the first round this year. He could be decent. It's, you know what? It's actually a bit of a younger defense for Dennis Allen than I maybe first thought. So you got a lot to train there, bring people up a little bit, give them some confidence, especially when they're not having to be on the field very much because of Drew Brees. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. Oh, do you see that they sacked the doctor over a misdiagnosis over Devin Bro?
Yes. Well, I'd be pretty annoyed if my doctor said that I had a bruise, but it turned out I had a broken leg.
I have a friend Tom who went to the doctor's once with he'd been coughing up blood most mornings and
Right.
was pretty sick and went to the doctor and the doctor said sometimes you're ill, sometimes you're not. There's a doctor that needs sacked, or maybe he'd fit on well at the Saints. Okay, let's move on and talk about the Tampa Bay
The stars
Buccaneers.
of Hard Knocks.
Oh, and what a season it is. I'm really loving it. Really loving Hard Knocks. You
I
don't like
still
it.
haven't watched Hard Knocks.
Oh, I love it. And I'm loving this season. And I am so impressed with Jameis Winston. He is a confident leader. He's got no issues in calling out people when they make mistakes. And not in a harsh way. He's going and saying, look, you made a mistake there. How can I help you make sure that doesn't happen again? And even people like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's like twice his age and is back up, and he's saying, Ryan, you made a mistake there. What did you see, and how can I help you with it? I mean, really good. He's so positive as well. He just goes around, he's handshaking everybody, and it doesn't look painted on. It looks like it's real. And he's just happy to take criticism on the chin when they didn't play well. He went right to the front of the group and he stood there and he took all the mistakes. He took responsibility for it all.
He's
I
got.
like him a lot.
I can tell that. That was virtually a love letter to him.
Hi, Jameis.
Their receiving weapons, DeSean Jackson, added from Washington, excellent deep threat to complement Mike Evans, who might be one of the best receivers in the
Yeah,
league.
he wants to be considered a top five, and if there's
He
any time
probably
to do
already
it,
is.
it's now.
You've got Cameron Brate, who's at tight end already from last season, and they've added OJ Howard to the mix, straight out of
Yeah.
Alabama, who's supposed to be. I mean, I've seen him play at Alabama. He was outstanding. He played
Yeah.
great in the national title game against Clemson. If they are all on the field, they're all healthy, and they can all work together, there is no excuse for Jameis. He's got weapons now around him. The
Yeah.
biggest concern on offense, running back.
Is it because I love Muscle Hamster Doug Martin? He
Right.
he's
I
going to
like.
be suspended for a few games, and he's had
That's a
some
problem.
issues in the past. He's saying
Yes, he
himself,
went to
he's
rehab.
yeah. So he's now saying that he's past all that. He's a new man now. But I really like him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm
But
drafting
he's
him
good Doug,
anyway.
bad Doug, isn't he? It's good Doug year, bad Doug year, good Doug year, bad Doug year. Like his running back production has been notoriously up and down year to year. Is this good Doug year?
Oh, this could
Or
be
does
a
or are
very
they
good
stuck
Doug
with
year.
Jacquizz Rodgers?
Charles Sims.
No, Jacquizz Rodgers would start over
Oh
Sims.
no, I'd be looking at Charles Sims. Peyton Barber is also a running back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He has been helping his mum out. His mum through a whole string of things has ended up living with her daughter and the grandkids and in a flat and thankfully he's made the team the
So far.
yeah well it looks like he's from what I can see it looks like he's going to be staying and he's bought his mum a flat he's really helping out and it looks like to be a nice guy does this young lad Peyton Barber.
Well, I'm sure he is. We'll find out more on Hard Knocks. It'll be a brutal cut at the end of the season.
Oh no, don't do it to me. Yeah, like I say, I love Doug Martin, so I think the backfield's okay. It's a solid O line for them to run behind with Marpet, Sweezy, Dotson, and they protected Jameis enough. I mean, did you see him in the game last year? I can't remember which game it was. He was right back on by his own end zone and surveying the field, nothing there. Avoids a tackle, surveying the field, avoids another one, spinning around, stepping up, stepping back, and finally releases the ball, gets it up to Mike Evans, who catches it in the middle of the field for a huge gain. He's so composed, and with an even better O-line ahead of him this year, there's no more reason that he can't do
And
it
he
even
wears
more.
contacts during games.
Does he?
Yeah, he can't see very well. Or at least that was the case at college. I don't know if he's had the laser eye surgery. I'm sure he could afford it now.
It's dangerous. You can't be doing that. Contacts are working, keep them going. Just have loads of spares on the sideline in case you lose them. Yeah, so he's got the chance to dump it off to the tight end, the new tight end OJ Howard. He's got the option to throw it deep to the speed of DeSean
Jackson.
Jackson, or he can throw it into contested areas with Mike Evans' big body to fight for it. There's a lot of great chance, good options here, and I'm big. I am big on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What do you
this
think
year.
Of their defense?
It's a really good defensive line with Goldson,
Gerald McCoy,
yeah,
Chris
Baker,
Robert
yeah,
Ayers.
Big fat guy. He's new. Robert Ayers. Last year's pick Noah Spence as well, and the linebackers Lavonte David, Kawan Alexander. It's really good there. You know, Brent Grimes, J.J. Wilcox, Chris Conte, Hargreaves. I like the defense as well.
Do you think they're playoff caliber?
Yeah, because they're better. You're saying that the Saints only need a passable defense, an average,
right? But the Saints
league average
have historically been one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Yeah, but historically, good offenses in the NFL only need serviceable defense. When we're saying that this offense
this
is going
not
to...
historically good offense.
We've not started the season yet. It could be. I don't think it's going to be
right,
historically
no.
good, but I think they're going to
they
be
might
really
make
good.
Top 10.
No, they're going to be a top 10 offense for sure.
No, I'm
they're
not
going to be, and they're going to be a more than serviceable defense. That's why they're going to the playoffs, and they're going to go
look
pretty far in the playoffs. And they might go to the championship game.
Buccaneers fans, I don't mean to be mean, but when your team makes the playoffs, then we'll start talking seriously about the Buccaneers. I mean, how many years are the Buccaneers going to be the shiny, like up and coming? This is the year. This is the team. You know, how many years are we going to listen to the Bucs hype before they actually deliver? Like the Jags on steroids. Slightly more hype and a much better quarterback.
I think we've had the last of the hype before delivery. I think the delivery's coming right now.
So they're your pick to win the division?
Oh, easy win the division, yeah.
No way! That's outrageous!
Oh, they're going to win the division.
No, Falcons.
No.
They might get the playoffs. They might get a wildcard spot.
They are going to win the division, go to the playoffs, and make a lot of pace in the playoffs as well. They could be going against the Packers and the Giants in the championship game or the Seahawks.
I do not see it.
I love the NFC this year. I mean, how good is that going to be? Seeing the Seahawks, the Giants, the Packers, the Bucks. I mean, oh, it's so
this is
fun.
The best division in football. On paper, this is the best division in football.
Certainly
this
best
is
conference.
The group of death. Oh. Someone, as we said, out of this division, unfortunately, is going to go home, which when you look at the rosters and the amount of talent across the board, seems crazy. If they win all the divisions, they'd probably all make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, likely two, possibly three out of this division.
Yeah. Well, that's been episode 5 of Going for Two. I hope you've liked it. Follow me on Facebook at Ross White, WIGHT.
Follow me on Twitter at NICXK89. That's NickXK89.
And follow us together on Twitter at G_4_2, Going for Two. Yeah, I hope you've enjoyed yourselves. Get in touch. Listen to us on your favourite platforms. iTunes, Stitcher.
TuneIn Radio, CastBox. It's on just about
SoundCloud.
Every platform available.
Yeah, we've enjoyed having you listen to us. So listen along, love the podcast, and share it to your friends. Goodbye.